the moral hazard, in his words, of people being less careful with their investments and assuming that the government will bail them out of any bad debt in the future. He also predicts there will be more regulation of the financial sector in the years ahead. Gertz says there's a 50-50 chance that the nation will experience a brief financial recession in the near future. He says the Fed is pursuing the bailout to avoid the pre-Great Depression-type atmosphere the country went through in 1929. Aviation officials say an American Airlines Boeing 757 blew a tire and ran off a runway this afternoon during an emergency landing at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. The Federal Aviation Administration and the airline say no injuries are reported. They say the plane came to rest with its wheels on a grassy area off the runway. American spokeswoman Mary Frances Fagan says Flight 268 was en route from Seattle to JFK in New York when a cockpit indicator light alerted pilots to an electrical system issue. The plane was diverted to O'Hare. It landed around 1:42 this afternoon. The plane blew the tire while landing. Passengers were taken by bus to the terminal. Fagan says they'll be put on another flight to JFK later today. Some Illinois lawmakers allege Governor Rob Blagojevich's order that they return to the Capitol today to work on ethics is phony. Amanda Vinicky explains.
In a statement calling for a special session, Blagojevich said he wants legislators to follow his lead in bringing real ethics reform to Illinois. But there's also news that Blagojevich has not returned $65,000 that a convicted felon gave to Blagojevich's campaign. Ali Atta has testified in court that Blagojevich gave him a state job in return for that contribution, something the governor denies. When asked about it, the governor said he hadn't paid attention to what his campaign's done with the cash. Democratic Representative Jack Franks of Woodstock says it all shows the governor's call for ethics reform is a charade.
If he wants us to follow as his lead, he should stop leading everyone to the federal penitentiary.
Franks also scolded the governor for wasting taxpayer money by calling lawmakers to Springfield, as each special session costs thousands in taxpayer dollars. Blagojevich used his veto power to change an ethics measure. The House overrode those changes, and now it's in the hands of the Senate. The Senate's expected to do the same. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Crews are still working to restore power to the last few customers without electricity in southern Indiana. In the northwest corner of the state, officials are trying to assess flood damage. About 1,000 homes and businesses around Indiana are still without power because of damage from the September 14th storms. Most of those without power are in rural areas of southern Indiana. In the northwest, more than 1,000 homes were damaged and more than 300 had major damage or were destroyed. Officials say those damages to homes could total millions of dollars, and it could be even more if the flooding affected infrastructure such as bridges and roads. Indiana's governor has asked for federal assistance for Lake, Porter, and LaPorte counties. More counties could be added to that declaration later. Congress is expected to approve a compact to prevent the diversion of water from the Great Lakes. Some critics oppose it because it still allows bottled water to be shipped from the region. They say Congress shouldn't rush to approve the compact because they say it still has many unanswered questions. But the House is expected to vote soon on that compact in a final step before sending it to President Bush for his signature. It was ratified by the Senate in August without objection. The region's 8 governors approved it in 2005 after more than 4 years of talks involving business, scientific, and environmental interests. The Canadian provinces of Ontario and Quebec have enacted virtually identical measures. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 5:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
Support for WILL comes from Commerce Bank, offering businesses ways to focus on productivity with services such as credit card and check processing, cash management systems, and tools to streamline the back office. Commerce Bank, helping businesses succeed for more than 143 years.
It's 4:34, and Mike Sola has a look at our weather.
Well, Tom, we went through the summer season with generally below average temperatures for much of the summer. It was cooler than average on the whole. Now we enter the fall season, and it looks like we have above-average temperatures for at least the first full week. Temperatures will be in the low 80s for high temperatures across central Illinois, and evening low temperatures or morning low temperatures, overnight lows, will be in the upper 50s, and that will keep them just a few degrees above the average. The average is now, the average high 73 degrees, the average low 50. And again, those stay pretty steady through the end of the month, 73, 74 for highs, 50 to 49 for lows. And again, we're looking for highs over the next couple days to remain in the low 80s, right around 82 degrees in the Champaign-Urbana area. And overnight low temperatures will be climbing from 57 to a very slight climb to around 59 by Wednesday night, Thursday morning. And we look for very little in the way of cloud cover. We do look for a little patchy fog to develop in the overnight hours, especially areas that picked up more than a little bit of rain yesterday, and in the river basin areas that there's still plenty of moisture laying around. We will see lows across the two-state area in the 50s, from 50 in northeastern Indiana to 60 in west central Illinois. And tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs between 80 and 85. Right now, we have temperatures between 70 degrees at Waukegan in northern Illinois and 88 at Metropolis in the south, 81 at Willard Airport, and 82 on Friends Plaza.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. John McCain has not gained ground with a voter group considered critical to a Republican victory in November. A new survey of rural voters puts McCain 10 points ahead of Barack Obama, but that's not enough, according to political consultants from both parties, who say a bigger margin is necessary for McCain to win. NPR's Howard Berkus explains.
The significance of the rural vote is due to 30 years of demographic shifts